Good morning. This is Judy Mario, and this is Choices. Thank you for joining us today. Today's show is being brought to you by Turning Point International, a provider of self-help products, including books, personal development programs, CDs, and personal coaching. And of course, you know, they are the publisher of many of my books, and so we are always promoting me and my books, You Are More Than Enough, a guide to help you believe in yourself and build your self-confidence, and its companion, the Achievement Journal, a complete personal development course that will help you set and achieve goals in the 8 critical areas of your life. And if you would like to receive one of these Achievement Journals free of charge in order to set your goals this way, just go over to my website, judymoreo.com, that's J-U-D-I-M-O-R-E-O.com, and you will see where you can register to receive a free Achievement Journal for this year to help you have the best year ever. And today's show is really exciting because we have a very, very special lady on the show. This is a woman that I met a few years back, and I've always admired her. She's got the most incredible personality, and I've loved getting to know her over the years. And if you've ever walked into a gathering with a room full of strangers, at a business or a social event, and you felt uncomfortable, let me tell you, this is the lady that will tell you what to do. This is the lady that will help you understand why networking is one of the best things you can do, and maybe even taking that a step further than networking and really working a room. Her name is Susan Rowan, and Susan's first book was a bestseller, How to Work a Room. And that book has sold over 1 million copies in 13 countries. Susan Rowan is an author. She's an in-demand keynote speaker. And she shared her message of connection and communication with audiences worldwide and in such diverse publications as the New York Times, the Sydney Telegraph, Financial Times, Globe and Mail, U.S. Today, Forbes, Men's Health, Cosmo, the San Francisco Chronicle, Huffington Post, and the Wall Street Journal. This woman has been around. People know who she is. They know what she does. And I'm glad that you're joining us today. And I want you to help me welcome my guest, keynote speaker, best-selling author, and the mingling maven, Susan Rowan. Susan, thank you for being with us today.
Well, you're welcome, and I'm delighted. And for the audience, Judy and I have known each other some years. It's a mutual admiration society, and I'm just so thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, this is the silver anniversary of that book, How to Work a Room. I mean, how does that feel to have a book be a bestseller for all of those years?
Well, you know, it ebbs and flows, but to have a book, to write a book that I really thought, and by the way, I'm a former teacher, so I always think in terms of the students or the audience, that helps people do something that we're also uncomfortable doing, which is walking into those rooms full of people, whether it's social or business, and all of a sudden you're walking into a room and going, oh my goodness, who's here? Who do I know? What am I going to talk about? And the important thing is that I've been privy to the research that has been done on social shyness, and to know that it's really normal. So many of us feel uncomfortable. And I guess it's my own teaching self, Judy, where it's like, okay, here are the ways you can do this that might work. And next week will be the quiz. Well, I really don't give quizzes. But I just know that anyone listening, even I, who wrote the book, has sometimes gone to events. And as I approach the door, I'm like, oh, my goodness, this is going to be another one of those nights. So whatever I can do to help, and yes, this book, this is the fourth iteration, the fourth rewrite. Why I wanted to do the silver anniversary edition is I believe in celebrating milestones. 25 years is a milestone. But, you know, it's not that people have changed. It's that technology has rapidly changed, and it's changed our behavior.
It's changed all of our lives. It's just incredible what technology has done to us. And so you've revised the book. Was it necessary to revise it?
I actually think so, because there are now new rooms to work. Though in the last edition, I talked about LinkedIn and Facebook. Now there are new rooms we're in. There's the Twitter room. There's the Google Plus room. There's the Instagram room. And there's so many different rooms they're in. And now we have different things that we do that really shoot ourselves in the foot. Instead of the old days, you'd walk into a room and someone would talk to you and look over your shoulder to see, who else should I be talking to? Now, they do that, but what they're doing is looking down at their phone seeing, who's trying to text or email me? Instead of looking at the people in the room to make it easy for people to come over to them. I've had people actually ask me in my keynotes, Susan, what do you do when someone's looking at their phone and looks like they're involved in, you know, answering an email or a text? Do you go over and interrupt them? So really, when we look at our phones at these events, we make it difficult for people who want to talk to us in real time feel even comfortable coming over to us. So we must stop that immediately.
I agree. I was sitting at a dinner, a big banquet, and the young man sitting next to me was texting away, and the lady on the other side of him was texting away, and I said to him, you know, you need to put that phone away, it's rude. And he said, well, we're talking to each other, so we don't talk out loud and interrupt. Isn't that amazing?
That is one of the funniest things. I understand he doesn't want to talk, so maybe the talk would be disturbing to other people. But really, how disturbing to see two people texting each other, sitting next to each other. Comedians would go nuts with that.
It's a good piece of information, isn't it? Now, define, would you, for us networking, and tell us the difference between networking and working a room.
You know, Judy, I'm so glad you asked, because so many people misconstrue one for the other. I've heard people say, and I really want to then strangle them because this is the wrong tense of the word. You could tell I'm a former language teacher. I'm going to go network a room. Oh, please. You're going to network in a room. You can't network a room, but you can work a room. They're very different, and the reason I know is I wrote two separate books. The first book, How to Work a Room. My second book, The Secrets of Savvy Networking. And there's no overlap. Two separate books. If you're writing 250 pages on two different, shall we say, procedures or processes, then that means they're quite different. And how I can prove that is there are some people that we know, they are great at a party, at a conference, at a meeting, at a fundraiser. You want to be with them. They're just so easy to talk to, and they're interesting, and they have no follow-up. They're not interested in pursuing anything. They're never going to call you, send an email, friend you, offer to link into you. They're done. And then there are people who are fabulous at networking. They stay in touch. They follow through. They send you the articles that they said they would. They introduce you to the person in their network they said they would, and in a timely fashion. But the thought of walking into a room full of people they don't know can still be daunting. So really, the ability to work a room, and let me just give it another word, old-fashioned word, we called it socializing. So it's the ability to socialize for business, for personal, and the ability to network and do the follow-up, staying connected. Together, the synergy produces such a powerful impact. Separately good, together even better. We need both skills.
Well, how can we get better at it?
Well, first thing is you're listening to Judy Morio's choices on this radio station, so that's brilliant. But how you can get better at it is do it more. And I would say when the invitation comes, whether it's in the mail or over email, look at the date, look at your calendar, RSVP, say you're going to be there, and now here's the magic, and then show up. By the way, because on the news they've been talking about this mother that sent an invoice to a family for the kid that said he was coming to a birthday party. They made a reservation for him, and he didn't show up, so they invoiced him what it cost the family. It's causing quite a bit of conversation, which I like, because so many people RSVP and don't show up. Ask brides how much they lose by people doing that. I mean, it's really...
Well, it costs money.
Yes.
It's money out of your pocket if the person's just plain rude and they don't show up.
Right. And so we're saying RSVP and show up. But before you go, let me give you a couple of tips from How to Work a Room. We now have the advantage of technology. There's no reason to walk into any room cold. We can go to Google. We can go to the website. We can go to LinkedIn. We can find out about the invitation. My goodness, if it's on Evite, you find out more about anyone than you ever wanted to know. If you're not sure what the attire is, you can look at the invitation. And if you're still not sure, here is the way to find out. This is so simple. Ask. A lot of people do not come dressed for the occasion. And I may sound very curmudgeon-y, and I maybe am, but I know people that have felt so uncomfortable because they weren't dressed and they felt like they stuck out like a sore thumb, but for the wrong reason. It's easy. Inquire. But before you go, how you can have conversation is read the paper. You can read it in print. You can read it online. You can read a content curator. I like The Week. I read The Daily Beast. You can, I don't care, you can read it on your watch, Dick Tracy, if you like. That would hurt my eyes. People are doing that. Read it on your phone. Read the news. Know what's going on in the world. Doesn't matter. There's always something to talk about. It could be a movie. I mean, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the Oscars. I mean, we had the Golden Globes. We had sports. In a couple of weeks, they're going to be the Super Bowl. There's always something to talk about. And for people listening to me saying, oh, that's trivial, that's not important, that's chit-chat or small talk, get this, small talk is the most important talk we do. Judy, that's how we get to know who's been to the same vacation spot we have, who likes the same restaurant we like, who maybe even went to the same school or camp that we did, who maybe has children the age of our children. And once you find that, once you find that common, it might even be, I'm from Chicago, I like deep dish pizza. When I meet someone from Chicago who likes deep dish pizza, we are already connected and bonded forever.
Well, some people just complain that networking is awful and they don't like it. So is network, it's different, isn't it, from using people?
Oh, yes. You know, I had a wonderful, may she rest in peace, Sally Livingston. She said to me one day when I said to her, you're a wonderful mentor. She said, Susan, how could I be your mentor? I'm your femtor. She made up that word literally 20 years ago. And, you know, actually, no, I think it's 30 years ago. Oh, my goodness. And see, I'm the language arts teacher, not the math teacher. You know, that was a wonderful word, but she said to me something, and this really changed my thinking. I think I always lived networking, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. She said, Susan, we need to say to people, don't think of it as using people. Think of it as utilizing resources and being a resource as well.
Yes, that's a good way to look at it.
And it is. And now we have a lot of people, oh, I don't like networking. Here's the idea of networking. Everybody does it. You're just not aware of it. We've done it in our lives. We've shared recipes. We've shared names of auto mechanics. The barn raising that our country is known for, that was where we had community networks. Everyone is in a network. You're in a family network. You're in an alumni network. You're in a neighborhood network. You share ideas. You share resources. You share recommendations. Your neighbor calls. They're sick. Can you drive them to the hospital? You do it. All of that is under this umbrella of being connected to people. That's what networking is. Now, the people that have translated networking to be only for business and only if we share cards, and only if you buy my products and sign on the dotted line. That's not networking, that's sales.
Yes, that is sales. But how would you differentiate what you say is the savvy networker from the rest of the networkers?
Well, the savvy networkers have three outstanding traits. They have many more, but I'm going to talk about the top three. That's what I always talk about these in my talks, because we want you and everyone to be able to do this. The number one trait of savvy networkers, they always acknowledge. And I don't just mean they send a thank you note for a gift that has a bow on it. And by the way, how many of us have sent wedding gifts and still don't know whether they were deposited or received? But that's just another, you know, oh my gosh, the wedding was 3 years ago and I still haven't gotten a note. Savvy networkers don't do that. Savvy networkers know that any gift is to be acknowledged. And I want to add to the list of gifts. They're not just presents that you can deposit in a bank or drink or eat or take a bow off of. They are the gifts of time, the gifts of advice, the gifts of support, the gifts of listening when someone's loaned you their ear and allowed you to expound on an issue. And, of course, the gift of leads and job referrals, et cetera. But the intangible gifts are sometimes the biggest gifts we get. Savvy networkers take the time. Not only do they say thank you, not only do you get an email from them, you might get a handwritten note. You might get a public acknowledgement. Maybe someone thanks you on Twitter in their feed so that everyone that follows them knows you did something special. Another way to thank people really is to thank them in front of other people, not just privately. Because some people never get acknowledged for anything they do that's nice. So that's the number one trait. The second trait is savvy networkers stay in touch when they need nothing from you. We all know the people that call us, oh, I was just wondering, do you have this? I got one of those phone calls yesterday. Well, Susan, I need. And I bit my tongue from saying, of course you need. That's the only reason you ever call. I really wanted to say that, Judy, but I didn't say it. Savvy networkers stay in touch when they need nothing. They make what I have called the hey while the sunshine phone calls. And the hey stands for how are you?
I love it.
And then the third trait, and this is the one that our mutual dear friend Patricia Fripp said is the difference that has made her career. She said, I may not have had all the skills certain people have, but I have the best follow-up. And she does. Follow-up is what savvy networkers do. When they promise they're going to send you something, they send it. When they promise they're going to introduce you to someone, they're going to introduce you. When they promise they're going to call to set a time for a cup of coffee, they actually call. Unlike
yes.
so many people that say, I'll give you a call later, and you want to call them and say, did you mean this century?
It's so true.
What we want to do is emulate those three traits of savvy networkers. Other things savvy networkers do, and this is just a bugaboo of mine, is they keep you in the loop. If they've done something or you've given them a lead, they let you know where in process it is. You'll never find a savvy networker being on the job 6 months that you give them the lead that they forgot to tell you they got the job. Keep people in the loop.
I know how important that is because so often speakers will come to me and they'll say, could you refer me to this company or could you refer me to this seminar company? And I do, and then they get the job and they never tell me they get the job. And then 4 or 5 months later, the seminar company says, oh, we're doing so well with this person. And you think, well, that's nice. I wonder why she didn't tell me she got the job.
It's good manners. I'm so glad you said that. Savvy networking is actually the good manners that most of us were taught as we were growing up. It's good manners, it's thoughtfulness, it's consideration, and you know what? It's respect for other people, their time, their interests, their needs. So what you just said is so true, but I'm going to go one further on that. If that person was hired by that seminar company and got the job, not only did they need to let you know and thank you, they need to do something more concrete in the acknowledgement. A bouquet of flowers, a box of candy, a donation to your favorite charity. Something that says, concretely, look what you did for me. I appreciate it, and I appreciate you. Now, some of you are listening going, oh, my gosh, she's sounding like my mother. Right. And if you had listened to your mother. But all of that is good, concrete information. It's when I just said to you how I bit my tongue from not saying what I really wanted to say. Remember when
yes.
we heard growing up, you can attract more flies with honey?
Yes. Yes.
In conversation and in networking, and I wrote a conversation book, What Do I Say Next? You know, people who walk around saying, well, I just told it like it is. I wrote an article in a blog post that said, really? Stop. Don't do that anymore. It's only your opinion. We have lost some of our filters. We don't, as my mother would say, bite your tongue. We don't do that. So many people say whatever comes to mind, and often it's hurtful, it's not appropriate, and it's not wise, and it's not savvy. So think before you speak is a wonderful way to be a good communicator and a great networker and a great way to work a room.
That's such good advice. And I think so many times people today don't think before they speak. Susan, How to Work a Room is available now as an audio book, and is it also an e-book?
Oh, yes, it is. It is an e-book, and I'm so proud of that it's available in all formats. You can not only get it through Audible, stream to your, whatever you plug into your ear, see how non-techie I am, but it's also now available as a complete CDs through, I guess you can get them through Amazon and Audible and through Macmillan. So what we wanted to do is make sure that whether you want to read it and underline it in print, whether you want to see it as an e-book or listen to it, and I went in the studio 3 days in a row and recorded it myself. So you'll say, I've heard that woman before. It was very interesting.
It's in your own voice.
It's
really nice. I like it when I get an audio book and it's in the author's own voice. It makes such a difference.
And, you know, it's so interesting because I have been complimented by someone who was an audio producer who said, you take less time in the studio than most of the people, whether it was speakers or authors. And I remember asking, why do you think I take less time? And the response was, because you actually wrote your own book, so you know your words.
You know what you're talking about, right?
Yes,
I know. Do you have any tips for us on how to do a better job of online chatting, of online networking? Because the technology just seems to be taking over.
Yes. For online, remember each one of these new rooms, and there's a chapter in the book called New Rooms to Work, the Social Media Melange, because each one is different. If you're going to Twitter, Twitter is a conversation. When you see something you like, favorite it. If someone says something that's interesting, let them know. A favoriting is one way to know. Retweeting it is another way to know. You can go to Twitter chats. Do you know that one of my best friends now, I met because of a tweet Dan Pink sent retweeting her tweet in 2013, and she's now one of my dearest friends. So we can meet people, but it's not just reading, it's connecting, it's responding. Treat the online room as if you're in the room with people. Your manners, your smile. Don't say anything online you wouldn't say to someone's face. I'm begging you.
I think it's worse if we say it online, if we wouldn't say it to their face, because then it's just out there for the world to see.
Yes, and how many people have gotten in trouble for the emails, the tweets, the posts that they've sent? So I think what we want to do is be savvy, be thoughtful. You know, Judy, this is one of my lines. Everyone says, oh, that's a thought leader, that's a thought leader. And something I've tweeted intermittently is, I'm more interested in finding out who are the thoughtful leaders.
Ooh, I like that.
That is I can call myself a thought leader because I had a thought 3 weeks ago. But am I treating people in a thoughtful way? And then online, that's what we want to be. Don't post anything that, A, you wouldn't want your grandmother to read, and if you're a grandmother, you wouldn't want your grandchildren to read, or you wouldn't want to have to say out loud in a court of law.
Exactly. Do you have any tips for us on how to remember names? Sometimes when we meet several people at one time, it seems like we just can't remember people's names. And how many times do we run across people and we say, oh, I know your face, but I can't remember your name?
You know, one of our cronies wrote a wonderful book, Total Recall, Dr. Joan Mininger. And this is funny because it was a memory book before it was an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. And when his movie came out, they sold more copies of her book. Oh, I'm hoping he'll do one called How to Work a Room. But anyway, what she talked about five sensing. When you meet someone, engage all of your senses. Look at their name tag. So it's visual. Look at their face. When you hear their name, really focus listening and then repeat their name, not repeatedly, because then we think you're trying to help us remember our own name. But repeat their name. Make sure you have the pronunciation right. And by the way, there are a lot of very interesting last names that aren't so easy to say. But if you say to someone, oh, can you help me? I want to be sure I get it right. People are not offended. They'd rather you say the name correctly. If they repeat it, then you miss-say their names or mispronounce. So do that. Shake hands with people. I know some people are a little reticent because of the passing of flu, etc. So if you must, fist bump people, but do something that you have some connection, because that's a kinesthetic connection. So that's another sense. So it's visual. It's auditory. You hear their name. You hear yourself say the name. You're using your own internal brain power to repeat their name. So as many of those senses as you could engage. And then here's another tip, and I was just writing something about listening. You have to have focused listening. If you're worried about what's on your grocery list while someone's saying their name, you're never going to remember it. But when you do, Dr. Ralph Nichols in the 30s was an expert on listening. That helps your memory. When you focus your listening and you really pay attention to what people are saying and are in the moment, you will remember it better when you see them 6 months or 6 years later.
That is for sure. That is for sure. Susan, we're running short on time. I can't believe it. You're such a wonderful guest, and it's been such a great conversation. Before we go away, would you tell my listeners how they can get in touch with you?
Well, that's easy, except that my website is in the process of being moved. But usually when it's up, you can go to SusanRoanne.com, and that's SusanRoanne. Or you can email me, Susan@SusanRoanne.com. Or if you want to hire me to speak, I actually have a phone number. This is so old-fashioned. You can call 415-461-3915, and I actually answer my own phone. How's that for antiquated?
I love it. Thank you so much. This has been such a pleasure to have you with us today, and I definitely want to come back and talk about some of your other books. But thank you, and this is Judy Mario. Listeners, thank you for joining us today, and remember that you are always more than enough. And you can reach me, Judy, at judymario.com if you want to let me know that you liked the show or you didn't like the show or you have any ideas for a new and different topic. Thank you. We see you soon. Bye-bye.